now. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today as we approach your word, God, and open up the book, God. We thank you, Lord, that you open us up to receive it. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to have a good understanding. May we be good ground where the word is sown. May it produce fruit in each and every one of our individual lives. Truly today, Lord, we've not come to hear from a man or a woman, young or old, black, white, brown, tall, short, thin, white, educated, uneducated, rich or poor. No, God, we've come to hear from you. We welcome your Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church. Be our teacher, be our guide. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction. Even the correction where we've gotten off track. Please, Lord, get us back on track with you. And Father, we'll give you praise, give you glory, give you honor for it. Today, Lord, don't just bless us only. No, God, we'd ask that you bless all the churches here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet that are both preaching and hearing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our brothers and sisters that are preaching your truth. We bless Citizens in Sandals, Ecclesia, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist, The Way, C3, Elevate Life, Patria, the Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Calvary Chapels, Assemblies of God, Foursquare, Evangelical Free, Set Free. We bless our Catholic brothers and sisters and Adventist brothers and sisters, Messianic Jewish brothers and sisters that met yesterday, God. All the great churches that are out there, too many to name by name, but God, you know them all by name. So bless your church, build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God, we do ask that you bless the persecuted church scattered abroad throughout the nations, Lord. Watch over them, encourage them, strengthen them, deliver them, Lord. May they endure to the end to the glory of God. Lord, we pray for peace in our land. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Everyone in agreement said, amen, amen. Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Last time we're together, you remember we started talking about how the Apostle Paul had been sharing the good news. And when we understand the good news, we also understand that there's some bad news. The good news is that Jesus Christ came and he offers us eternal life because of his substitutionary sacrifice. But the bad news is that we all need it. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Whether you're morally good or whether you're religious or even the Jews, we all are in need because we're all sinful beings. And last time the Apostle Paul anticipated some questions that would come up. Well, wait a second, is there any advantage to being a Jew? And he says, absolutely, because you got the word of God delivered to you. And now here comes another question. We're going to be in Romans chapter 3, verse number 3 and verse number 4. But while you're turning there, while you're looking, the title of today's message is Faith in the Mix. Faith in the Mix. Let's read it together. Here comes the next question in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse number 3. It says this, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Now remember, he's talking about the Jews. And he says that the Jews received the oracles of God. They received the very word of God that was delivered to them. But what if some of them didn't believe? Which you can see from the scriptures that they didn't. Is that right? They actually rejected the word of God. And he says, well, what if? And he goes on to say, what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Does it stop God from doing what God's going to do? He goes on to verse number 4 and he says this, certainly not. I'm so glad he answered the question. Certainly not. God's promise and God's purpose will continue no matter what man does. He goes on to say, indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Quoting from Psalm chapter 51, verse number 4, where King David is speaking. This was in the matter of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, when David committed adultery. David doesn't point the finger at God or anyone else. He says, no, it's my fault. I was wrong. And he says, God, when you point out our faults, guess what? You're justified when you speak, that you may be found right. Even though man may judge you and criticize you and say God's wrong and God's not right and that sort of a thing, no, God, you'll be found right in the end. We need to understand this because the text is clear. Some people find it a little bit difficult to interpret what are we talking about here, but really I believe that it's clear that even if the Jews didn't believe, that God would still be faithful to his promise. And in becoming righteous and right in maintaining his promise, he still maintains the right to judge the unfaithful. You see, I believe even with present-day Israel, sometimes people get the wrong concept and the wrong idea. They wonder, well, Pastor, why would you pray for them? Why would you support them? I mean, they're not the true Israel any longer. Now we've been grafted in, and those that believe in Christ, and not every Jewish person believes in Jesus Christ. They've rejected the message, and therefore, they're cut off, and they're not going to be a part of that any longer. And so here's a nation that's ungodly. They're a secular nation. And even the Orthodox Jews don't believe in Jesus. And so with their secularism and with the things that they're doing, they're not doing all the right things. And therefore, why could you support them? Listen, I'm supporting what God supports. Because just because people don't believe presently in the Jewish nations doesn't mean that God is finished with them yet. There still is a plan and a purpose of God for Israel, and God's plan is not going to be derailed because people don't believe. No, God's purpose will still be accomplished, and therefore I love what God loves, I hate what God hates, and I bless what God blesses, and God blesses Israel, and God says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Therefore, I'm going to do that. I'm going to continue on. And in the end, God's plans and purposes will take place. That's why he says you will be justified even when men are judging and criticizing and condemning. See, we can learn from King David in this moment. We can learn from this quote because David didn't point the blame at anyone else. He didn't point the blame at God. He pointed the blame squarely on his own shoulders. He said, I was wrong, but God was right. And in doing so, what did he do? He simply believed the word of God. And because of that, God was able to use him as a man after his own heart. See, in our lives, we need to understand it's the same with us. When it comes to the word of God and the purposes of God, we simply have to believe the word of God, that God may be justified and that his purposes will be carried out in our lives. Can I say to you like this? We got to get faith in the mix. There's so much unbelief out there in these days. People are skeptics. People reject fake news. Got a whole lot of fact checkers out there. And yet when it comes to the word of God, people don't simply believe the truth of God's word because they've been conditioned to criticize, to judge, and to condemn. And people are looking with their natural eyes rather than looking with the eyes of faith in the Spirit. We've got to get faith in the mix. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Today, I believe that we can see how to do this from Romans chapter number 3. And verse number 4. There's some principles that are contained within this one verse that God wants to speak to our lives so that we can get faith in the mix. And not only we can get faith in the mix, what happens when you get faith in the mix is you get the blessings and the promises of God, the benefits and that profit that we talked about last week from the word of God. Are you listening today? Come on, I'm not going to let you just sit there and be quiet today, okay? You got to get involved in this message because God wants to get faith in your mix. First thing is this. How do we get faith in the mix? First thing is this. Is we got to let God be true. I love the fact that it says, let God be true and every man a liar. Now we understand that second part because we've been lied to. We've been hurt. People have said things that we found not to be true. And yet, when it comes to God, we're very skeptical. I've heard it said one time that we need to believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts. That means that we've got to let God be true. Notice it says, let God be true. In other words, we have a choice either to receive the word of God as it is or to reject it. You can either have it in your life or you cannot have it. The choice is yours. That means that we have to let God be true in our lives and not point out the flaws and criticize and condemn and all those things. Turn me to Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's take a look at it together. Hebrews chapter number 4, it's speaking of the Jewish people and a time in their lives where they had the word of God delivered to them that they were going to be able to enter into a land of promise, that there was going to be God's power to take them in there and to subdue kingdoms and to run them out before them. And yet they didn't believe the word of God. Remember, we said, shall the word of God be made of no effect? Because some did not believe. Certainly not. God's plans and purposes would happen. Now, it was delayed for 40 years while they wandered in the wilderness. But the principle comes in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 2, and it says this, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. What gospel did they hear? Well, remember, they had the first 5 books of the Bible. They had Moses with them who was declaring to them the law of the Lord. And what did Moses say to them? Moses said to them, there's going to be a prophet that's raised up like me that you need to listen to. And so they knew that one was coming who would speak to them the very oracles of God, the will and the word of God. That would be looking forward to Jesus, the prophet, if you will. Well, back up before that, Abraham. Here's Abraham, and he hears that through his seed, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. That is a promise of Jesus Christ coming through the line of the Jewish people. They heard the gospel, the good news that there was a blessing coming from their line. They knew that. Even back up to Genesis, right? Chapter number 3, here comes the curse on the serpent. But with that curse also comes a prophetic utterance that the seed of the woman will come and the serpent will crush his heel, but the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. In other words, Jesus is coming and he's going to take over the government and the authority that the serpent had usurped in that moment. The gospel is woven all throughout the Bible, and so they heard the good news, but they decided not to receive that good news, and it showed in their lives. Let's take a look at it. It goes on, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." Notice it didn't benefit them in any way. Why not? Well, look at the last part of the verse. It says not being, what's that word right there? Mixed. Remember, we're talking about getting faith in the mix, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See, the word that they heard, the oracles from God, were enough to build faith. Think about it. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here they heard the word of God. They had the ability to have faith, but they didn't do something. They just heard the word, but they never mixed faith in with it. And because they didn't get faith in the mix, it didn't benefit them. It didn't profit them at all. My son, who's here in the room today, he loves watching a show called The Great British Baking Show. Anybody watch The Great British Baking Show? Okay, I see you guys. Now, the show was more popular in the first service, I guess. But for some of you guys, anybody like the Food Network or, you know, any of those kind of cooking channel? That's okay. I got a lot more hands that way. So there's one. I guess it's one of those on-demand ones. The Great British Baking Show. It's a delight. I guess Americans just like a good accent. You know, we enjoy that, and so, you know, they love watching that and all the different things that are taking place and little Cheerios and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, not the cereal, but they do these challenges, and they have these different challenges that they do in the first part, and a lot of times it's a technical challenge, and they're supposed to do something that's unique, and so they rolled out to all the contestants a dessert that was not a common dessert. In fact, it was a regional dessert that was in the north of England, didn't even make it up to Scotland. It was just kind of the north part of England. Only one of the contestants out of all of them that were doing this had ever heard of this dessert before. And they had been from that area, and so they were like, oh, I know this one, you know. And so it was like, okay, well, now the pressure's on. You better kill it, because you're the only one out of all these people that knows it. But they threw a twist in there. They said, you're going to have to make this dessert vegan. So no eggs, okay? You can't have that in there. And you better make sure that you get something to make this rise, because there's a certain size that they're looking for. So in order to make it rise, what do they have to have? They have to have a rising agent. So that would be baking soda. Because that baking soda, as it gets in the mix, what would it do? It would bubble up, and it would cause it to rise. And so the lady's there, and you could tell the pressure's on. She's literally sweating. Like, her face, you can see the little beads all over, and she's sitting there, and she's frantically making this, and she's got that little smile on her face, like, oh, man, I'm the only one that knows this dessert, and so it better be good. And so there's one point where the camera is directly on her, and she's standing there, and you can tell something's wrong. Something has gone horribly wrong. And she looks directly at the camera and she says, I know that I had baking soda in my hand, but I don't know if I mixed it in. And you can tell there's that fear and that terror that has settled in on her, like, oh no, this thing's not gonna rise if I don't have baking soda. Now, she had a choice. She could either put another scoop of baking soda in there and risk having it rise too much and destroy the dessert, or she could risk not having any baking soda at all and have it fall flat. Either way, if it was wrong, it was going to be known by the judges. Now, if it were me personally, I'd have gone the other way, because if I didn't put it in and then I put the measure in, well then, hey, praise the Lord, it's the right amount. But if I don't put it in at all, it's going to fall flat. Well, she chose not to put it in at all. She says, I guess we're going to find out. I had it in my hand. I don't know whether I put it in or not. We're going to find out after she bakes it. She bakes it. It comes out flat. Ugh. She cuts it up into little squares, does everything that needs to do, puts the candied ginger and the little, you know, stripes of the sweetness and the stickiness on it. The spices are all there, the flavors are all there, but it's flat. She presents it to the judges, and the judges are just there like, judging her. You know what I'm saying? Just totally doing their job, judging, like, No, fell flat. It's supposed to be this tall. You got this. This is just terrible. It's dense. Even though the spices are right and everything, it just, that's not what it's supposed to be. You were the only one who knew this dessert. We were expecting a whole lot more out of you. Just, you could tell they were just shaking their heads like, no. Now, they had another challenge that came up, and it's called the showstopper. They were to make a cake, and it's supposed to be one of those cakes that just takes your breath away. When you see it, oh my gosh, it's a showstopper, right? It's supposed to look good, and then when you cut into it, it's supposed to taste good. You know, one of the judges there, if something tastes really good, he gives out handshakes. And like all of the bakers, they want the handshake. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, I just hope that when he cuts into it and he tastes it, it comes to me, you know, like that. It's a big deal. And so here they are and they're waiting. Now this lady, she wanted to redeem herself. And so she chose the same dessert to be her cake this time. And this time you could tell, man, pressure was on. She's like, I'm making the same dessert. It's going to be inside of a cake this time instead of in squares, but I need to redeem myself. And so she got all the spices and everything. This time she looks at the camera, she got the baking soda, and she goes, you know, like she got the baking soda in there. She mixes it all in. The cake rises. She decorates it. She presents it to the judges. Now the judges are like, oh, yeah, that looks good. Then they cut into it. And much to their surprise and their delight, oh, you made it again. It's the same dessert. This time they put their fork in there. They put it out there. Oh, my goodness. It's fluffy. It rose where it needs to be. It's got the spices. It's got the stickiness. It's got the sweetness. It's got the candied ginger. Yes, this is good. What made the difference? She mixed in the right ingredients. See, in your life will fall flat if you don't mix faith in with the word that you hear. But if you want to rise to the heights that God has for you, if you want your life to be sweet and to be attractive to people around, guess what? You got to mix faith in there. Make sure you get faith in the mix. You ever watched people's lives? People that call themselves Christians, people that you know, people that you understand, you know, see, it's not just enough to hear. You know, a lot of church people, a lot of people call themselves Christians, hear the word, even watch messages online, listen to podcasts, read Christian books, and yet their life's a mess, and their lives are falling flat. Why? Because they didn't mix faith in. They simply didn't just believe and receive the word of God. They had what they needed because they heard the word, but they didn't mix faith in. You see, our unbelief hinders our ability to receive. It doesn't hinder God's ability to give. It hinders our ability to receive the blessings of God. It doesn't hinder the faithfulness of God. That's why he said, certainly not. Because God's word will come to pass. Let me show this to you in the book of Mark. Okay, turn there with me to Mark. All right, Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. God is going to be faithful because God is faithful. Faithful to his promises, faithful to his word. We hinder our ability to receive when we don't believe. Mark chapter number 6, Jesus is traveling, and he travels to his hometown of Nazareth. While he's there, the people start judging, criticizing, condemning. Wait a second, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't I have a table his daddy made? I mean, I remember when he was this big. I changed his diapers. That doesn't say that in the Bible. That's just my paraphrase, all right? But he says this in Mark 6, verse number 5. It says, now he could do no mighty work there. Wait a second. I thought God could do anything. But it says he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Why is that? Verse 6, and he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. See, they hindered their ability to receive a miracle. Jesus was still as powerful as he could be. He was still as faithful to do what he promised to do. And yet the people couldn't receive. Why? Because of their unbelief. But look at the faithfulness of God next. It says, then he went about in the villages in a circuit doing what? Teaching. Remember, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. What is Jesus doing? He's going and saying, come on, you guys need more faith. Come on, let's get some faith in this mix. I want to heal you. I want to bless you. See, God is still faithful whether or not we're unfaithful. God can't deny himself. He is who he is regardless of man's response. Therefore, he says, I'm going to go teach. I'm going to build faith. I want to heal you. I want to bless you. I want to deliver you. I want to see your life successful and prosperous. You need to rise. You're falling flat right now. Get some faith in the mix. And guess what? You're going to be raised up to the place where you need to be. And so we got to let God be true. But the second thing is this, that we can see, is that we got to judge him as right. See, the people in Nazareth, they judged him as the carpenter's son. They judged him as familiar. They judged him as, oh, now you think you're a rabbi? You think you're better than us? They judged him wrong. But see, we got to judge him as right. But what happens when people get uncomfortable with the truth? What do? They start to reject it. They seek to find fault with the teller of truth. Well, I can't talk bad about the Bible, so it's obviously not the Bible. It's the pastor. Man, that pastor's a big mouth. See, the stronger the truth, the stronger it's felt, the more deeply people feel it, right? Truth can be potent. Truth can come across as cutting, man. Sometimes truth cuts to the heart. And so people go, oh, I hate that feeling. That pastor's bad. It happens all the time. How about this? Why'd you leave the church? Well, they were all about money. Why? Because they heard the truth about tithing. That church is all about money. They start judging the messenger. Man, they're always receiving an offering. Every week, can you believe it? Every time they have a church service, they have an offering. Can't believe it. Talking about year-end gifts and all that kind of stuff for Christmas and all. They're all about money. And what do? They reject the truth. How about this one? Oh, in a big church, you're just another number. I got sick and no one called me. Well, did you tell anyone you were sick? Because we're busy calling the sick people that let us know. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it works. I get a prayer request. I'm sick. Okay. Can one of my pastors call them? They call them up. Hey, let me pray with you, right? But if we don't know, we think you're good. We'll see you at church, right? You're just a number. You're just another cog on the wheel. You're just another face in the crowd. They don't really care about you. No, I pray for you all. I may not know your name, but I'm praying for you. See? What do they end up doing? They end up seeking a church where they feel comfortable, where the truth doesn't make them feel uncomfortable. Seek out other people saying the same thing. Oh, yeah, I went to the Rock, man. The ushers, they were bad. They made me sit where they wanted me to sit. Didn't let me sit where I wanted to sit. That's what ushers do. They ush. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what they do. But they gather around other people that are saying the same thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they start saying, but can I tell you something? Just because everybody's saying it doesn't make it true. Remember, let God be true and every man a liar. See, it's far better to doubt what men say than what God says. Doesn't matter what people are saying. Doesn't matter if everybody says it. It's just because everybody's saying it doesn't make it true. There was a period of time everybody was saying that the whole universe revolved around the earth. Didn't make that true, did it? No. And so we have to understand that it's not going to be long before these people are going to be offended again. Because truth is going to come and it's going to be uncomfortable. But eventually they won't be pointing the finger at man. They'll be pointing the finger somewhere else. At God. How many of you know that's a dangerous place to be, is pointing the finger at God? Well, God, you did this. God, you're not true. God, you're not right. I prayed to get healed and I didn't get healed. I prayed for them to recover and they died. God, I prayed for provision and I didn't make it. All of a sudden we're pointing the finger at God. That is a dangerous place to be, judging God as wrong. See, the fault of unbelief is not with God. It's not with other people. It's with us. Why King David comes along and says, God, you be justified when you speak. God, I was wrong and you were right. We have to have that humble heart. See, God will be justified in his words when man, even when man is judging incorrectly. This is a crazy story in Numbers 23. Turn there with me. Numbers chapter number 23. It speaks of a prophet. Now, this is not a prophet of God. This is a false prophet. This is an ungodly prophet. The New Testament calls him a mad prophet. Now, mad not being angry, but being crazy, all right, in that sense of the term. And the story is really a crazy story when you think about it, because he went and he talked to God about going with these guys to go and curse Israel, and God told him not to go, but then he ended up coming back and asking again, and God told him, hey, listen, you shouldn't be asking, and yet he kind of in frustration, you can sense the heart of God, says, well, go with them. But then on the way, the guy's getting ready to go with them, and there's an angel getting ready to kill him. And so the donkey can see into the spirit, apparently, because the donkey sees the angel and is like, no, I'm not going there, and turns away. And so this mad prophet gets mad at his donkey, starts beating the donkey. And after a little while, God gives this donkey utterance. He gives the donkey the ability to speak, and the donkey's like, why are you beating me? And the mad prophet doesn't be like, ah, talking donkey. No, he's like, well, because you turned, you know, like, stop it. Starts talking to the donkey. the New Testament tells us that he was rebuked, and if you read the old King James Version, it says he was rebuked by a dumb ass. I did not just cuss in the pulpit. I just quoted the New King James scriptures, okay? That's all I did. I'm going to leave that right there and not go any further, because in your life, if God has to send a dumb, if he has to send a mute donkey to talk to you, you got issues. You've got problems. Might be a talking donkey up on this platform today. Come on, somebody. But finally, the prophet goes and he tells him, I can only say what God tells me to say. See, in that he was true. And in Numbers 23, verse number 19 and 20, he says this. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Remember, let God be true and every man a liar. He goes on to say, has he said and he will not do, or has he spoken and will he not make it good? In other words, if the promises of God don't come to pass, then God's a liar. But the Bible tells us God cannot lie. Otherwise, he'd have to give up his throne because he would not any longer be God. So that means that if you're the only one who the promises of God have not come into play in your life, then let's put you up on a platform and let everybody just sell tickets to come and look at you. Look at the only person that God's promises never happened for. Why? Because you're unique. You're special. God's promises will come to pass. It may not be now. It might not be next week. It might not even be next year or next decade. It's coming, though. You can bet on it. You can count on it. Guess what? If it doesn't happen in this life, it's going to happen in the life to come, because God cannot lie. If I ain't healed now, I'm getting healed in eternity. If I'm not delivered now, then I'm delivered in eternity. If I'm not blessed now, I'm blessed in eternity. And guess what? Those that had the promise of a homeland weren't looking for a homeland here on the earth. They were looking to the eternal city and to the eternal reward, and God was faithful and gave them more than what they had hoped for. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Verse 20, behold, I've received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You can't turn around the promise of God. You can't go back on his word. If God said it, it's going to happen. God is faithful to his promise. Even if we're faithless, God remains faithful because he can't deny himself. He is God. We got to judge him as right. God, if you said it, then that's the way it is. God, if you said it, it's going to happen. God, I just simply believe and I receive. Which brings us to the last one, and this is prove it with your life. Prove it with your life. This is a big thing in our society, isn't it? Everybody wants to prove it. Prove it. Everybody's judging, fact-checking. The moment a message goes out from a leader, everybody's online. Did they really say that? Did they really do that? Is his numbers correct? Did he say that? Were his shoes tied the right way? I mean, everybody's judging. Prove it. I want you to prove what you're saying. I better see something. I better see something different. I better see some change. I better see something happen. And in our lives, we have to understand the proof is there with the Word of God. This is my proof. This is all the proof I need. Why? Because if I mix faith in with this, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the what? The evidence of things not seen. Even though you can't see it, your faith is the evidence. You know, that's another word for proof. Think about it. Evidence holds up in a court of law. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'd like to submit to you Exhibit A as evidence. What is Exhibit A? It's your faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You can't see all the promises of God. You can't see your healing in this moment. You can't see the provision that God's going to bring in this moment. You can't see all of your friends and family saved just yet. But guess what? If the Bible says it, then your faith getting mixed in with there is all the proof that you need that it's going to happen. Because God's faithful, and we need to judge him as right. But then when faith gets in the mix, you're going to rise. Otherwise, if you don't mix in faith, you'll fall flat. There's a cute little story of a mom and her daughter who were taking a plane ride, and so they were sitting there, and mom was on the aisle, the little girl was in the center seat, and then there was another guy that was over by the window. And little girl was sitting there, she had a little storybook that she opened up, and it was Jonah and the big fish. And so the mom at one point said, honey, are you okay? I just need to go to the bathroom real quick. Are you going to be all right if I go? And she said, yeah, I'm going to be all right, mommy. And so the mom got up and went to the bathroom. During this time, though, the man over by the window looked over and saw that she was reading a book on Jonah and the great fish, and he was an atheist. And he saw his opportunity now that the mom was gone, and he leaned over and he says, "You don't really believe that, do you?" The little girl looked up and she said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "You believe that a man could be swallowed by a fish, survive for 3 days and be spit out on a shore and live?" She said, "Uh-huh, I do believe that." He says, "How can you believe that? Prove it." She said, "Well, maybe when I get to heaven, I'll ask him how it works." Now the atheist, he thought, "Oh, I've really got her this time. Now I'm really going to mess with her." And he said, "Well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? What if Jonah's in hell?" She said, "Then you ask him." See, in our lives, people are looking for proof, aren't they? Some might start to argue that the current state of a thing points to the ineffectiveness of the thing. Let me just give you a real-world example, right? You got unbelievers out there talking about marriage. Marriage is a dead institution. What proof do they have of that? They say, "Well, half the marriages that start end in divorce. And nothing changes, you know. You can just live together. You can sleep together. You can, you know, have kids and have a life and pay bills and all that kind of stuff. When you get married, there's really no change. So what's the point if everybody is just going to get divorced anyway? If half the people are getting divorced, why get married?" But can I ask like the Apostle Paul? Can I just put on my Paul hat for a second and just ask a question? See, is this institution of marriage a failure just because people get divorced? The answer to that is a resounding no, isn't it? Certainly not. See, marriage is a success because God says it is a success. And when we do marriage God's way, guess what? We'll have the marriage that rises and doesn't fall flat. We'll have a blessed life together. And so just because people get divorced doesn't mean that marriage is a failure. It just means that there were circumstances and situations that happened. We're sensitive to those things. We understand those things. But it doesn't mean the problem is with the Word or with God. No, the problem is somewhere with us, that something took place along the way. And so we need to understand that it's the same thing with the whole message of the gospel and the Word of God. See, why would we try and change the message, the Bible, just because people reject it? See, sometimes people say, "Oh, well, people are rejected. We got to change what we're saying then." Well, maybe we don't need to hold to all of the standards of the Bible. Maybe we need to change it. Maybe we need to lighten up a little bit. And they start to distort the scriptures to their own destruction. See, we don't change the message. The gospel must not be altered to our taste or to our times. No, the message remains the same, even though the packaging might look different. We must alter ourselves to obey the gospel, but we must not alter the gospel. See, in some terms, think of it this way. You have nothing to prove to everybody else out there. Truth is truth, whether they like it or not. You don't have to prove it. But your life, if you believe it, will prove it. People are going to see. They're watching. They're looking at your life to see whether or not what comes out of you is the product of your faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11. Speaking of faith, this is the faith chapter. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, you find men and women of God that did amazing, wonderful things. The father of faith is Abraham. Abraham gets a lot of talk, a lot of time, a lot of attention. In fact, we're going to be talking about Abraham's faith in the book of Romans chapter number 4. But there's a little lady that came alongside Abraham by the name of Sarah. And if Abraham is the father of faith, then I believe that Sarah is the mother of faith. Because you can't have a baby without a mama and a daddy. Is that true? Yes. Yes, that's true. Unless God does something supernatural, you got to have both. And so Abraham's the father. We need a mother in there. And Sarah is that woman. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11. Now I'm going to read this to you from the New King James Version. I want you to read along. If you don't have the New King James, I want you to read along on the overheads, okay? I want you to see this version because some of the other versions don't include this translation because they're based on different documents and things like that. And there's been some stuff along the way. But I believe the New King James Version gets it right, okay? Look at what it says, Hebrews 11, 11, New King James. It says this. It says, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. See, here it is in the mix, right? By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age. You know that Sarah was 90 years old when she had her baby? Listen, my beautiful wife is over here on the front row, and she said, Dan, if I get pregnant, just kill me now. We are done. That ship has sailed. There is no more. I'm not looking to have baby. We're looking forward to the day when our kids start having grandbabies, because then we can get our fill, and then we can give them back when we're done. Hello, come on. That's what we're looking forward to. But she's 90 years old. Wow. That's past the age of childbearing. And yet she still had a baby when she was past the age of having a baby. How did she do that? By faith. How did she do that? Look at what it goes on to say. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Notice, after the laugh, because they named their baby Isaac because both of them laughed at one point. Abraham laughed in his heart. Sarah laughed out loud. She heard she's going to have babies. She said, what? Am I an old woman going to have pleasure in my old age? And God says, why is your wife laughing, Abraham? And she said, I didn't laugh. And God said, oh, you did laugh. But after the laugh, something happened. She considered what God said, and she said, well, if God is saying it, guess what? It must be true. She judged him faithful who promised, and because of that, God blessed her with the ability to receive the seed of God and to conceive and bear forth a son when she was past the age of childbearing. I love that. I love that because in your life, you might be past the age. The ship may have sailed. It's beyond the time. I couldn't start a business now. I'm too old. I couldn't go to Bible college now in this season of life. I've got too much going on. I couldn't start a ministry. I can't go and talk to my neighbors. I can't save my family members. I can't get healed. I've lived with this long. I've lived with this my whole life. But God is saying, if you'll simply judge the one who said it as faithful, as true, if you let God be true and every man a liar, if you just say, God, you're right, guess what's going to happen? You're going to receive the strength to conceive the seed, and you're going to bring forth and birth the promise and the plan of God in your life. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The proof will be clear of how you judged God's word and whether you mixed faith in or not. Just like that cake, it's either going to fall flat or it's going to rise. And people are going to see the proof. And when the judges are judging, guess what? They're going to say, ooh, that's good. That's good. That's a life well lived. How does it work? How do we get faith in the mix? We got to let God be true, judge him as right, and then you will prove with your life what the word of God says is true. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today, and let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, simply we receive it. We believe and we judge you as faithful, God. In this moment, Lord, would you speak to your people? Would you just ask the Holy Spirit in this moment, say, God, what are you speaking to me, and then listen for his voice. What is God speaking to you? It doesn't take long for God to speak. If you've heard a word from God, maybe a sentence or a phrase, some instructions, even a scripture reference, make sure to write it down. I don't want you to forget what God is speaking to you, and where you have a reference. Some of you might be thinking, Pastor, what's that look like? It's just a little whisper in your heart. Oftentimes it comes with peace. It'll witness with your spirit. Be able to say, oh, that's right, that's God. It'll line up with the scripture. It won't contradict the scripture. Once again, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words that you're speaking to our hearts today. Thank you, God, that as we believe and receive your word, God, and mix faith in, Lord, that we're going to prove with our lives your truth. That you use us to be a witness and a testimony of your goodness to a lost and dying world who desperately needs you, Father. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a praise? I'm going to ask no one get up, no one leave during this time as Pastor Antonio comes. Pastor Antonio, would you come?
Come on. So good. Thank you, Pastor Dan. What an amazing message, guys. Don't you love that? I mean, we got all the right ingredients. We got to make sure we mix in that faith. I love that analogy. That was such a cool graphic that they did. It just puts it into such great perspective. We can have it all in front of us, but we got to make sure we mix in that faith. Come on. So with that faith, with that being said, let's make sure that we are going to honor the Lord by bringing our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse. I want to share a testimony with you of, I don't even know if it was timed like this, but this testimony was someone who did just what we're talking about today, where they took the truth of God's word and they put their faith on it. I want you to see what God did. Now, they were standing on these scriptures, a set of scriptures that the Lord put on their heart from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. They read these passages from verse 2 to 14, and they were going to stand on this word. I want to highlight to you verse number 9 specifically today. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just so he, I don't have my glasses, has sworn to you to keep your commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Amen. So I want to read this story to you now, or this testimony. A week ago, I had some bills come in that needed to be paid immediately. However, every source of income I had was being disrupted or attacked by the enemy. I was about $2,500 short of what I needed. When payday came, I prayed over my tithes and I gave online. My trust was in God. The day of the deadline to pay my bills came, and God supplied double the needed amount. He then continued to bless me again and again, and that's just the financial part. I was blessed with a new career that pays almost double. Now I am able to give more, bless others more, and teach my daughter what obedience and having trust in our Lord Jesus Christ can do. Amen. You take the truth and the promises of God's word and you put your faith in the mix and watch what God can do. Now, this is not just in the area of our finances. This is in every area of our life. So come on. Today, let's be cheerful givers as we prepare our hearts to be obedient and faithful in the area of our finances. The ways that you can give today and sow are on the screen right behind me. Maybe it's the text to give, the QR code, you just zoom right in. Even that tap to give on the back of those chairs in front of you. Those are amazing and simple ways that you can make sure that you are sowing into what God is doing in your lives, the life of your neighbors, the life of this church, and really around the globe, which we are able to impact because of your generosity, because of your obedience, and all that God is doing on the earth. Amen. Come on, I get excited because I want to be a cheerful giver. Do you have any cheerful givers in the house this morning? Maybe you're giving by cash or check. If you wouldn't mind raising your hands, our ushers would love to serve you by getting an envelope to you so that you can get a tax-deductible receipt at the end of the year and keep track of that. I know we personally, my wife and I, like to keep track because what our commitment, our goal each year is to give more and more each year. Because God is just so good. He wants to increase us. That's what I believe. Come on, anyone want to stand on God's promise? It is so good to give with you all today. Let's pray over our offering. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus, and we are so grateful that you allow us to partner with you and all that you are doing, Jesus. We are not giving today out of our bank accounts. We're giving from a heart. We're not giving from our lack or our abundance. We are giving, Jesus, knowing that you are our provider. You are the one who will take care of us and meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Jesus' name. So we thank you again as we sow the seed today. May you multiply it and bless it in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen, amen. Ushers, at this time, you can receive the honoring of the Lord. I want to share a few upcoming events and gathering opportunities that you have to connect here at your church. All right, everybody good? Come on, is everybody good? We want to encourage you to stay seated as we list these off because God is still doing something here at this church service. Ladies in the house. Come on, ladies in the house. This upcoming Thursday, Women Rock AM is concluding the year with their annual Thanksgiving service. So be here 9:30 a.m. in the Youth Auditorium. And we have our Thankful Night for our young adults at 7 p.m. on Friday. Want to encourage you all to get in the house. Somebody say tonight. Tonight at 6 p.m., we have our Holy Spirit night. Pastor Jess will be leading this Holy Spirit night as we are going through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're going to be talking about miracles. Come on, if you're in need of a miracle, let's make sure we get in the house of God tonight. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, right after service, you'll get some instructions here shortly. But we want to lead you and pray with you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, man, we want you to stay. Again, Pastor Dan will give us some instructions as service ends. But if preparing your hearts, that's what you want to do. We want to lead you in that time. And then our Thanksgiving communion service. This is an amazing service that we do every year on the week of Thanksgiving. This year, it'll be Wednesday, November 27th, 7 p.m., our standard Wednesday service time. Invite family, invite friends, and as we come and gather and prepare our hearts to be thankful and full of gratitude. Amen. And then lastly, GNO Girls Night Out is coming up December 7th. That's right. We are in need of some volunteers to make that happen. So men, women, people, let's get in the house and make this happen as we usher in God's presence at Christmas time. All right? Hey, that's all for me today. Pay attention to the screens, and then Pastor Dan will be right back with you shortly.
This is the best time of the year, and we have so many amazing ways to get involved and do life together during this beautiful season. So, Pastor Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about Project Christmas Tree?
Project Christmas Tree is an amazing opportunity that we have as a church to give to the youngest members here at The Rock for those families who are potentially going through financial hardships.
I loved Project Christmas Tree because my kids, we would go and pick an ornament off the tree, and each of them would pick one according to their age or their gender, and they got to get involved. So that is a really cool way for families to get connected together. There are several ministries that you can get involved in this year. Just go right on out to the foyer, and we have cards available for you. And on the back of the card, it has everything that you would need if you're out shopping with your family. It's a really great way for you to get involved during this Christmas season. Rock Church, go ahead and take a look at what you get to be involved in here at the Rock Church during this Christmas season.
The Convalescent Ministry will take hundreds of gifts filled with love, joy, and Christmas cheer. Our Homeless Ministry will reach out to those in need of the basic necessities of life. The Rock in the Streets Ministry will take hundreds of Christmas stockings to the streets of the Inland Empire. The Prison Ministry will donate items to various prisons and provide dinner to a juvenile detention center.
If you're looking for another way to get involved as a family, we have a packing day where we all come together and we pack the gifts that we are going to be giving to the families and to all of our outreach programs.
So it is required that you register, so you can call the church offices and get all the information and register your families there. Thank you, Rock Church, for getting involved. We love you. Let's continue to love people back to life. Bye, Rock Church.
Amen. There it is right in front of you, all the ways to get involved, and it's just a great church. And again, thank you guys for being so generous and so wonderful in this season. We've got great things ahead of us at the end of the year, Rock family. Hey, I'm going to ask once again, no one get up, no one leave during this time, please. We want to just make sure that we focus your attention, because the next part of this church service is, for some of you in this place, the most important part of the entire church service. In fact, it could be the most important part of your entire life, because God wants to make sure today that your heart is right with him, and that if you died, that you wouldn't end up going to hell, but you'd end up going to heaven. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't believe in hell, but it's a very real place. In fact, the Bible talks about it in the Old and the New Testament. Jesus himself spoke about hell. It's a very real place, and I don't want you to go to there. You don't want you to go there, but more than both of us, guess what? God doesn't want you to go there. That's why he sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, and hung on the cross, was so that you didn't have to die and go to hell. That you could be reconnected with him and go to heaven. Sometimes people say, well, doesn't that mean that everybody goes to heaven because Jesus went to the cross? God loves us. Doesn't his love let everybody in? Don't all roads lead to heaven? Well, listen, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's going to be people that make it and people that don't make it. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. Can't get there your way, my way, some well-meaning church committee's way. We've got to get to heaven God's way. Don't you think God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who wrote the plan of redemption, don't you think that if he wanted us to be with him in eternity, that he would share with us how to get to heaven? Well, he does, right here in his word. Sometimes you say, well, Pastor, I know the Bible tells us to be good, and I've been a good person. Yeah, I used to be bad, but I cleaned up my act. I haven't knocked over a 7-Eleven in a while. I think I've been good enough. I haven't committed adultery or murdered anybody, and, you know, I've been nice to my neighbors, kind to my family members, given money to charities. I think I've been good enough, but did you know that there's nowhere in the Bible say you can be good enough to earn your way into heaven? Because the standard to get to heaven based on your goodness is perfection. There's no one who is perfect except one. His name is Jesus. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I was raised in church. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Maybe they hung a cross or a St. Christopher on your neck. Had you baptized a Christian as a child? You went to religious classes like Sunday school, Sabbath school, catechism class. Maybe you were born in America and you think that's going to get you into heaven. Or some nation that had a Christian section of that nation. You say, well, everybody born in our area is going to heaven. We're all Christians. We're not any other things. We're not Buddhists. We're not Muslims. We're not Hindus. We're Christians, right? Wrong. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you're born in the right place or in the right family or you're raised in church or because you wear the right jewelry or you're doing the right religious rituals, you get to go to heaven? There's no default setting, guys. Not going to make it to heaven because of your family association, your location, your upbringing, any of that kind of thing. That's not going to make it. And today, can I love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough to tell you the truth? You will die and end up in hell and not make it to heaven if that's how you think you're going to get there. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, it wasn't just when I was a child. I here I am as an adult sitting in church in front of you. Here I'm watching online. I consider myself to be a Christian. But that's like me going to my garage and saying I'm a car. Now, there may be people who say, well, if he identifies as a car, then we agree, you know, and that's great. But I will never host people inside of my body and drive them 65 miles per hour down the freeway, contrary to what everyone thinks. Even if people agree with me, I'm not a car. I can say I am, but I'm not. The reality is, if we can sit in church and call ourselves a Christian or watch a church service online and call ourselves a Christian, even if other people agree with us, guess what? God knows the heart. God knows the reality of it. And just because you sit in church, call yourself a Christian, doesn't make you a Christian. Sometimes you say, well, Pastor, my last church I got involved, I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church and taught in the Bible classes. Those are all wonderful things to do. You know that none of them are going to get you to heaven. You just took your good works from the community, put them in the church, and thought that would impress God. God's not looking for your volunteer hours or a membership card to a church like some bank commercial saying, well, it's in your wallet before you can enter the gates of heaven. It's not going to make it. Ah, Pastor, okay, I get it. Don't worry about me. I know God. I know about Jesus. Celebrate the resurrection at Easter. Sing the songs at Christmas. We're getting ready for Christmas right now, decorating the house. Got my nativity set up. I could quote scriptures to you, Pastor, Old and New Testament. That's great. So can the devil. He's not a Christian. Demons believe, and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're not going to make it. Everybody look up at me for a second, even online. Look at your screen right now. This is not about what you have up here in your head, having mental ascent towards God, knowing who Jesus is. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement. But rather, it's about your heart. God's always been looking at your heart. He's always been after your heart. In fact, in John, the third chapter, we find God's way to get to heaven because Jesus is speaking to a religious leader of his day by the name of Nicodemus. Good guy, did a lot of good deeds, held to the strictest form of the religious law. He was a teacher of Israel. People went to him to find out about God. He could quote the scripture. He could debate the scripture. He could sing the scripture. How many of us could do that? He did a lot of good, and yet, when Jesus speaks to him, he doesn't pat him on the back and say, keep going, man, I'll see you in heaven. No, what does he say? He says, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, I know. Our society's raked that through the coals, made a mockery out of it. Let's not let society, Hollywood movies, television, books, and blogs on the internet define for us what being born again is. Let's let the Bible do that for us. What does being born again mean for the Bible? Well, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, being born again has always meant the same thing. Ready for it? Here it comes. It means that you've surrendered to God all of your heart and that you've surrendered to God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation. Jesus is speaking to a church just like he speaks to us here in this church and online today. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, he says, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Pretty gross. Pretty graphic words to the mouth of Jesus, wouldn't you say? But what is he saying? He's saying half-hearted lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. You cannot be a little in, little out, little up, little down, little token prayer every now and again, occasional church attendance. God is something in your life, but he's not everything. And you're not opposed to God, but you're not wholehearted for God and expect to make it to heaven. He says, I'll vomit from my mouth. You know what he's saying? He's saying in or out. You can't do both. And if you don't make a choice, you're gone. It's just that simple. Half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. A lethargic, apathetic, stagnant church will not remain. It's only those who have surrendered to God all of their heart and all of their life. Well, Pastor, I tried to be good and I messed up. Let me clean up my act and then I'll come to God. Listen, no, you come to God and he cleans you up from the inside out. Don't waste time out there in the world doing your thing. Pastor, I prayed a prayer. Isn't that enough? Well, listen, you can't fool God by repeating some words and then living like the devil the rest of your life. You got to give God all of your heart. The Bible says he who endures to the end will be saved. You keep following God. Even if you mess up, you get up, you dust off, and you keep following God. Keep trying with God. Keep growing with God. You don't give up. Pastor, I'll make a deathbed confession. I've got more time. I'm young. Listen, don't gamble your eternity on whether or not you'll have more time or the opportunity of a deathbed confession. Again, God sees the motives of our hearts and sees beyond the simple words of our mouth. And yet, do you think that you're guaranteed a deathbed confession time? Or more time on the earth to make that decision? We're all one accident, one incident, one bomb, one virus, one breath away from eternity. Jesus could come back at any moment. You don't know your last moment on the earth, but you've got this moment guaranteed to you right now, right here. We're not coming back as a dog or a frog, working our way up into a human, getting another shot at this. You've got one life to live, and that's this life. You've got one time, and that's this time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put this off. No, you need to consider your eternity now. What if today was your last day? What if you died right now? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you don't know, or if you know that you wouldn't make it, then you need to make a change. I'm going to give you that opportunity in a moment here. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three, just like that. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang. When you hear the sound of my hand popping that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're making a statement. You're saying something. You're saying, I want to give God all my heart and life. I want to be born again, head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. If you're here live, you can put it right back down. Online, you can throw it up for just a moment, then put it right back down. Now, you might be thinking, whoa, wait a second. Time out, Pastor. If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. It's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever? No one would make that trade. A moment of possible embarrassment for an eternity away from God? Come on. And yet the devil thinks you're a fool and he's trying to talk you out of this right now. Tell that devil to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're going on with God today. Get ready to get your hands up. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Today, you got a choice to make. You can sit there and do nothing, and that's a choice. Or how about this? Make the right choice. Get right with God. Surrender all of your heart and all of your life. Acknowledge your need for Jesus by simply raising your hand. You can do that in a safe and friendly place. No one's criticizing, judging, or condemning. Listen, we've all been ex-somethings in this place. You're in good company. Don't think that your sin scares us or God, right? No one's taking Prozac over what you did last night. We understand. Doesn't make it okay, but what makes all the difference is if you surrender your heart and life to Jesus. You know in your heart of hearts you need to get right with God. Who should raise your hand in a moment if you've been running from God instead of God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure? Today, you can make sure. Who should raise their hand? Maybe you're lukewarm. You know that's the condition of your heart when I described it. You're saying, I need to come home like the prodigal today. Maybe you backslidden. Today, it's your day to make a fresh rededication to the Lord. You can do that in this time. If that's you, you know who you are. On the count of three, live and online, get ready to get your hands up. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one. God bless you. There's two in the back. I got you. There's three up here. There's four right here. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today? Four, five. I got you right there. Thank you. Six, seven, eight. Way in the back. I got you guys. Number nine down here. I think they were pointing. Where are you at? Number nine. Anybody else real quick? Just want to make sure. Number nine right there. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. I got you. That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. There's nine wise people already. Who else today? Need to surrender to God. Number 10 over here. We're pointing at each other. Anybody else real quick? Anybody else? Just want to make sure. About nine wise people. Come on, if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, don't resist. God's just saying, come on, will you surrender all of your heart and all of your life? Is there anybody else today? About 9 wise people already. Anybody else? Come on, you know you need to do this. Then wait another moment if that's you. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for about 9 wise people. Hallelujah. All 9 of you, number 10, 11, and 12, I have some instructions for you. In a moment, we're all going to stand, and we're going to give a clap and a shout. That's your cue. Once you get a hold of your coat, purse, sweater, Bible, a friend if you need a friend. Parents, if your children raise their hand, this is for them as well. Or children, if your parents raise their hand, make sure to stick with them. I want you to get your stuff, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front, because we're going to change destinies together today. Let's all stand. And if you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, just slip out of the aisle, get your stuff, get your kids, friend if you need a friend, get in the aisle, and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Let's welcome them. They're coming. Come on. Come on right now. Come on down to the front. We want to just pray together. So simple. Come on, if you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front right now. Come on down. They're coming. They're coming. Come on, you can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Wow, whole families are coming right now. Whole families are coming right now. Come on down. If you need to come, just come. Wonderful. They're still coming. They're still coming. Come on, you can come too. From the family rooms, from the foyer, front to back, left to right, wherever you're at. Come on, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. Wow, this is fantastic. Come on, if you need to come, just come. Just come right now. Church, nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you. Say, bring them right now. Come on, bring them down. Bring them down. This is their time. Just help them on their journey of faith right now. Give them a little nudge. Okay, a holy nudge, a gentle nudge. Come on, friend. Just bring them. If you need to come, just come. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just come right now. Come on down. Well, hey, y'all look wonderful up here. I got to tell you, my heart is rejoicing. Y'all look so good. Families are up here, and just a beautiful thing when someone comes to give God all their heart and comes to give God all their life. Today's a new day. It's a brand new day for you. Today marks the start of a journey. It's the first step. And there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. You know, if I was going to walk a mile and I took the first step and then never took the second one, I would never make it to that mile. Is that right? But you got to stay consistent is what I'm saying. Today's day one. Today's step one. Step two is tomorrow morning when you get up, you start to pray to God and talk to God. Step three is I'm going to open up the Bible and start to read a scripture and listen for God to speak to me. Step four is, hey, next time church service is coming up, I'm going to come back. In fact, give us this next year. Keep coming consistently to church. Keep praying consistently, reading your word consistently. As you do, next year, November 17, 2025. You'll look back on this next year and you'll look like, wow, man, look at the change that God has done in my life. It's going to be absolutely wonderful and amazing. With those thoughts in mind, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus into your heart. Everybody's going to join in together with you. You'll hear them praying. They just want to encourage you, all right? This is your new family, brothers and sisters, all right? You didn't join a church, but you did join a great big family of God when you said yes to Jesus. And so you'll hear them praying with you online. If you raised your hand or you should have, you can pray this prayer with us as well right now. But I want you to put your heart on the Lord. Don't worry about the words that you're saying. Put your heart on the Lord, because that's where it makes all the difference. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Everybody say these words out loud together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I give you all of my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past. Fill me with your Spirit and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to the family of God. We're so excited for you guys. You got a new life and you got a great future ahead of you. Now, listen, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was age 15. I was raised in church, but I still didn't know anything about God. And so I needed someone to come and teach me, encourage me, pray with me. And I never dreamt of the things that God would do, but it all started on that first step that I took when I said yes to Jesus. And then the next step, I needed a friend to come and help me get going in the right direction. So I want to give you that same thing. And this is my friend, Pastor Joel, really good guy. Nothing weird's going to go on. Sometimes you go to church, you wonder, are they weird? Listen, I'm about as weird as it gets today, okay, with the donkey references. He's cool, all right? He's going to do three things. I'm going to let you know what they are in advance. Number one thing he's going to do, he's going to give you some free stuff, all right, free materials. Find out what just happened and what to do next in your walk with God. Second thing he's going to do is that he's going to introduce you to some friends we have here. We call them spiritual personal trainers. And then third thing he's going to do, you ready for this one? After a couple minutes, he'll let you go. Easy and free. My man, can I just tell you something right now? Can I put my hand on your shoulder? Because I want to just affirm something in your life. God's going to do great things in you. I just want to let you know that you stick with God. God's going to do great things. How old are you? 14 years old. I was 15 when I got saved. Okay? God took me around the world, literally around the world, preaching the gospel. A kid from Moreno Valley who didn't know right from wrong, even though he'd been raised in church, was still following his own life, following his own direction, but I got God's direction, and I had a friend. I want to encourage you to stay in with God, find some godly friends, and watch what God does in your life. God's going to take you places. I don't know what that means, but I just want to encourage you. God's doing something great in your life. Amen? Amen. You guys make a left turn. Follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on. Come on, let's give God a great big praise today. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise as they go online. If you prayed that prayer with us, I want to encourage you to stay with us through the end of the church service, and there will be some instructions for you after we dismiss to get a hold of those same materials and those same connections. And can I just declare to you, God's going to do great things in your life as well. Hey, Rock family, we love you guys so much. Matt and Kathy, are you guys all right? Wonderful. These are my friends, Matt and Kathy. Wave at everybody, all right? Matt and Kathy are wonderful, wonderful friends here at The Rock. Faithful members, and you know, you heard about the prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You say, what is that? Okay, when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit on the inside, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like baptism in water. It's a submersion, right? You get submerged in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the love of God. You get gifts distributed at that time that God can bring out as he wills in your life. So they're going to do a quick teaching on that, and then just simply pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's made a difference in my life. It's helped me, and I want to offer that to you as well. So you can be dismissed right now if you'd like. Okay, you can just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and come up to where Matt and Kathy are, right here by this big pillar underneath the screen. If you want to wait till everybody else dismisses and then come up, you're welcome to do that as well. I'm going to dismiss. And then tonight, 6 p.m., like you heard, we're talking about miracles. Some of you guys need a miracle. Come tonight, 6 p.m. Some of you guys just are curious and want to see a miracle. Come tonight at 6 p.m. Some of you guys don't agree with the Holy Spirit. Stay home, all right? Watch the rerun of Mike Tyson just kind of dancing, all right? So I had to. I'm sorry. I had to. I know y'all were watching it. I'd dance for $20 million, you know? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm playing now. I love you guys so much. Can I bless you? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Father, I bless your saints from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, But if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.